Hello and welcome to the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast. Each week, we talk about different college admissions topics and answer those tough questions you may be dealing with concerning getting into the college of your choice. We know how difficult this process can be, so each week, we try and make it easier to navigate. Now, here's your host, Anna Wren and Mark Huffer.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Wren, and with me is...
Mark Huffer.
And we are so excited because we have a special guest today. We have Jessica Yeager, who is the host of Dream College Summit, which you may have heard about if you follow some of her articles on Business Insider, and also founder of Impress the Ivies. Welcome, Jessica.
Thanks, Anna and Mark.
So happy to have you here. So I know Mark and I are both so excited to have you and have our own questions. So I might just kick off the journey that, you know, being that this is a podcast all about college admissions, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you kind of got involved in the college admissions assisting process?
Absolutely. So I have been working one-on-one with students since I was in seventh grade tutoring. And so I've always really liked working one-on-one with students. And when I was applying to schools, I didn't have that much information. We had a guidance counselor, but only one for a school of 400 students. And at my school, not a lot of students had applied to Ivy League schools. I'm from the Midwest. So there wasn't a lot of information out there or examples for me to see, okay, how do I apply to a school like Harvard? But I tried to figure things out, and I ended up applying to, at that time, which seemed like a ton of schools. I know now 10 schools doesn't seem like that many, but I ended up getting into Harvard, MIT, Yale, Stanford, Cornell, Columbia, just really, really awesome schools. And I ended up going to Harvard for undergrad, and then I went to MIT for grad school. And a few years ago, I realized I really still wanted to work one-on-one with students. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of students out there that were like me that really didn't know, you know, didn't have a parent who went to these schools or didn't know how to go about applying to schools like Harvard, and that I could really help students. So I started my site, Impress the Ivies, to give that information to students and parents and give them sort of an inside look as to how students can make themselves really stand out for college applications. And then last year, I decided that I wanted to get together a bunch of experts, including Anna, who did it last year, to share all this awesome information with parents and students about getting into college. And that was so successful that I'm doing it again this year with even more experts, including both Anna and Mark this time, to really get all of this really good trusted advisors and information in one place for parents and students to go to and figure out their questions, whether it's test prep or financial aid or STEM questions, and really just get that information out there. Because I'm sure you guys know this and your listeners know this. There's a lot of information out there that isn't good or is really stressful. It's a stressful time. So having those really trusted advisors and good information is so valuable for parents and students.
That's amazing, Jessica. I mean, I think that's wonderful because you're right. There is a lot of inaccurate information online. Mm-hmm. I know I was in a forum recently. I don't know if you saw this too, Mark, but there was someone that was actually intimidating people about the process, like purposely, like, oh, this is us against admissions. And I was like, well, that's not the right mindset to have.
No. And, you know, the other thing is it's a totally different ballgame than when most parents were applying to college. And you have tons of students whose parents went to college in a foreign country or didn't go to college and have no clue, you know, what the system is like here. So that's another thing that I think is a big issue.
So I have a lot of questions. First of all, It's really fun to have you be able to describe the process, especially for you, and also now that you are out there doing something that relatively, I mean, 5 years ago, it probably wasn't even possible to do what you're doing. So first of all, kudos and having the foresight to be able to, you know, be a trailblazer in this type of getting information out to students and parents. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. However, as you know, and I think all of us who work with students who are looking at colleges and college applications, the process itself has changed dramatically in just the last 5 to 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're right on the cutting edge of asking people who deal with that on a regular basis, and they are trying to stay as informed as possible. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious, even just having last year and this year, having done very intimate interviews with counselors, has there been a difference between last year and this year? And what kind of trends have you seen have already started to change in that short period of time?
Ooh, I think that's a little bit of a hard one to distinguish just in differences between 2 years. But I will say that, you know, the pool, so the number of students applying to these schools is just getting bigger and bigger. And so that means, you know, maybe you, I think this is especially important for students who are in a competitive high school, in a competitive state, talking New Jersey, New York, California, especially if you are Asian. We all know that can be a factor in admissions. And so for those students especially, the admissions pool is just getting bigger and bigger and more competitive. So you maybe could be, you know, in the top 30 of your class last year, and this year you needed to be in the top 10.
Yep.
Or, you know, yeah. I definitely saw that this year where it was just really competitive, especially for those sort of really competitive high schools or in really competitive states. So I think you're seeing that. I think you're seeing, while you're seeing that more competition, the other thing that I always want to caution parents and students about is, you know, you see these crazy admissions numbers, they get lower and lower and lower every year. But you also have to realize they're making admissions easier, applications easier for everyone. You know, schools keep dropping SAT subject tests, certain supplemental essays, even some have dropped essays, you know, completely, and different things like that. So you have to look at that, because if the application's getting easier to fill out, more students are going to fill it out, even if they're not really eligible for that school, because they think, oh, well, I might as well try. Even if I have, you know, a C average, maybe I'll get into Harvard. And so you have more students who are, I'm going to say, unqualified applying to these schools, which really, and the schools like that because they like a lower admissions rate. And even though it is more work for them, that lower admissions rate means a higher ranking, means more grant money, you know, all of those things that colleges really care about. So that's the other thing I would say, even though the numbers keep getting lower and lower, you have to sort of take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, that's definitely one thing. I just toured a bunch of schools in Colorado, and that was the admissions directors were very frank about, yes, getting more applications is great. However, we still have to sort through them, and many more are not competitive. So it's kind of, yes, that does push our acceptance rate down, but it's an artificial number. Mm-hmm. It's not really very indicative of what they really are seeing. The admissions are still the same. It's just that many aren't just as competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I was curious, have you had anybody, I haven't heard the interviews yet that you've done for this year, so I'm excited to hear those. But did anybody talk to, we now have had a major shift in the SAT and the format. We've had a major shift in, like you say, the availability of applications. Not only that, but we've got the coalition application as well, which has come on board. And now we have more students applying, like you said, because it's more accessible. So did you have somebody talk to those subjects this year?
Yeah, definitely. We had a lot of test prep people on. So we definitely talked about the SAT in particular. And what one of our experts, Sean Patel, he is a test expert, and you might have seen him on Shark Tank. He talked about the new SAT, which, you know, isn't as new as it was a year or so ago. But what he said about it was, in fact, in a lot of ways, the new SAT, he thinks students will find it easier. Because what was happening was a lot of students were choosing the ACT over the SAT because of it being perceived, whether it was or not, but being perceived to be easier. So they actually were losing, I think at one point, I don't know if they still are, but the ACT was more popular, which was very, I mean, when I was applying to schools, the ACT was really very Midwestern. It wasn't really accepted outside of the Midwest very much. And that wasn't that long ago. So to have it overtake the SAT, I think is really interesting. But that's part of they're not going to say that, of course, the College Board won't say that, but part of the reason for the overhaul was to bring it more in line with the ACT. So what he talked about was actually he thinks students will find it a lot easier to take the SAT with the changes that have been made to it.
Yeah, that was one thing that in talking with College Board last year at Aspen Institute during the Ideas Festival, they were actually pretty transparent about they were losing market share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Changed the test. Mm-hmm. And the test is funny. What's old is new again.
Mm-hmm.
It yep. sure looks and smells like the duck that used to exist, you know, 20 years ago. So it's interesting to see that come around once again. So,
mm-hmm. Well, I'm just curious now. Did we all take the original 1600 SAT?
I did.
Yep.
Yep, then all three of us did. So it's back to what it was.
Yeah, no analogies though. So that was always the worst for me.
That's true. That was definitely a rough part of the section. But yeah, I think I had heard just from attending different conferences, more and more admissions consultants were recommending the ACT over the SAT. Although I had heard that even some schools like Georgetown were looking for the SAT and they were looking for much higher scores because they knew it was an easier test, the new ones at least.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, the big difference between the SAT and ACT, you know, the ACT is more straightforward, but it's very time crunched. So it really, I think, is very dependent on the type of test, you know, student you are. If you like things straightforward and you can go at a quick pace, you want the ACT. If you like things to be a little more, give you a little time to think, but be more challenging, be trickier. I know the reading level itself, I think some people have said it's more, the SAT is more, you know, college freshman level than high school level. So it's really more what a student's strengths are and what they like to do, what type of testing they like to do. But yeah, I definitely think that the new SAT is more in line with the ACT and just what students are sort of expecting.
Yes.
So as an expert, Jessica, that works, you know, with Dream Colleges and Ivies, I guess I would ask you, what do you think is one of the most important factors in having a student stand out when applying for those types of schools?
Yeah. So I think one of the most important things, and this is really, frankly, it's important for your life to have a successful career, to have, you know, a meaningful career, is you really need to know who you are as a student. And I know that sounds a little intimidating if you're, you know, 16, 17 years old, but it's really important to know who you are, what you want to do. You don't have to have everything planned out to a T, but have things that you're really interested in and that you are already contributing to, you're already impacting your community, or even, you know, your state, the world, whatever it might be, but you're already thinking about what you want to do to impact the world and start doing something. Because those, knowing yourself that well and acting on that knowledge of yourself, it's going to help you not only in college and getting into college, but it's going to help you when you graduate from college and, you know, go for that job or career or grad school or business school, med school, whatever it might be. You really need to know those things. Otherwise, you know, you don't want to spend your, at one point, maybe when college was like $1,000, it was fine to figure out those things during college. But, you know, with the price tag it is, you don't want to get 2 years into college you know, at a $60,000 a year price tag and then decide, oh my gosh, I hate this thing. I want to do this other thing. So I think being able to know that when you are applying for schools, it's just really going to make you stand out. And it's not just knowing it, but it's acting on it. It's, you know, doing those projects or starting that company or that nonprofit, or even, you know, having an event or things that sound big. They sound like a big deal, but if you really break it down and it's really something you're really interested in and you are excited about, it's not going to be that hard for a student to really explore those things.
So when I tell them that they need to know the school's fight song and be able to juggle, those are probably just good add-ons, right?
Right.
Okay. I do tell them that they need to have an authentic story for why they're actually applying to college in the first place, but I also push the fight song as well.
I love that you bring that up, because I think when you know yourself and you know what you want to do, it makes selecting colleges a lot easier because you can see exactly how you fit into those schools. And that's exactly what you're talking about, figuring out those things that make that school and how you can really complement that and fit into that school.
It's funny you say that. I kind of kid about the fight song, but I encourage students to actually find out what is the mission of the school. Mm-hmm. And one of the first exercises I have students do is, what is your mission? Your personal mission and your academic professional mission. And I say, if they're not in line with the school, why are you applying?
Right. That's a great point.
And I think
I always ask that too. Like, do you know the mission statement? And then if they don't, like, so why are we applying?
Yeah. Especially, it's a lot of work.
Yep. But the juggling is always good to have. Like you say, it's a lifelong skill.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, I think we know, you know, we all know people who maybe didn't know, you know, what they wanted to do in college and then didn't know once they graduated from college. And it makes you always question, like, why did I even get that degree? if I didn't really want to do whatever it was you studied. So it's important to.
Now, I think, like you said, with the price tag, there's more pressure on students to try to figure that out earlier, and more pressure on counselors and the whole support group that helps them identify those earlier, because it is expensive, and we don't have that luxury of, oh, I'm only $2,000 behind at the end of the year. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the other thing is, I think it makes learning more fun. If you know the things that you're excited about and you care about, it really allows you to focus on those things and skip those things that, you know, maybe you don't care about and maybe are boring to you. You don't need to focus on those in, you know, high school or college if they're elective type classes. So knowing that early, I think will really can help make learning more interesting and more fun.
Yeah. So since you've done the interviews for this next Dream College Summit, which again, I'm excited about.
We both are.
I'm curious, what was the one interview that you did and you went, wow, that is going to be so interesting for the group as a whole to hear? What was the couple of tidbits? Not to give everything away, but a couple of tidbits that you went like, oh, that's awesome.
Ooh, that's really hard because there are so many good ones. So I'll do two kind of a little bit different ones. So the first one is about financial aid and planning college. And I talked to Joe Messenger, who's the founder of Capstone College Partners. And he talked about some things with college financial planning that I had not really thought of, even though, you know, obviously I paid for 4 years of college. but I just didn't think about these things that make so much sense. So one of the tips he had was the importance of planning for all 4 years of how you're going to pay for college, because there's so many different things, so many different buckets that parents can get the money from or students can get money from for college, that if you don't plan out all 4 years, you can miss out on big things like, you know, subsidized loans or tax credits or these things that can be worth thousands of dollars to you over your college career, just because you didn't plan out all 4 years. You just planned the first year and then said, oh, I'll think about the second year later. and then the other, one of his other recommendations that I thought was so easy was he recommends not taking more student loan debt than you'll make your first year out of college. So if you know the sort of type of career you're going to go into, so let's say you're going to go into education, so like teaching, you know your first year salary is going to be maybe $40,000, maybe $50,000, depending on where you are located in the country. Well, you don't want to take out more than that for student loan debt, because your payments are just going to be, it's just going to be your whole paycheck basically. Yeah. So I had never thought of it in that simple of terms, but that I think is such a good benchmark for students and parents to keep in mind.
And that was the benchmark he used, was how much you were going to earn that for your salary. And that debt is about that equal in size.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way to think about it.
Yeah.
So that was a really good one. And then another one that I think I'll bring up, because I know Mark is into STEM. This one was from another STEM expert, Meredith Graham of CollegeWise. And we talked a lot about the differences between each, you know, science, engineering, technology, math. So we talked about the differences in those, and one really good tip from her that, you know, I studied engineering, so I'm a little biased, but one really good tip she had was that if you're into engineering as a student, you like building stuff, but you just, you know, you hate the really high level math, or it's just not interesting to you, a technology degree can be a great option for students, because you get to, the outcomes can be very similar, but you don't need to know that, you know, really high level math that maybe you're just, you know, is intimidating to you or just is boring to you. So I thought that was a really good tip that I hadn't heard before.
For sure. And that's one that I think often when we hear students who are so focused on, oh, I'm going to be an engineer, they don't realize engineer is the tagline for about a billion jobs.
Yes.
So it's a mindset more than it is a job.
Exactly.
That's a really good info.
Yeah. So those are just a couple. We have 26 experts, so there's a lot. Yes, there's a lot of awesome information in this.
And how many were there last year?
Last year, I think there were 12. So I think there were less than half than that there were this year.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
And what are the dates, just so that we can throw those out there?
Absolutely. So the summit will run live Monday, August 28th through Thursday, August 31st. And anyone who signs up, puts their email in so they can get the links for the videos, you'll have access to every video for 48 hours after it goes live, totally for free. So you got tons of information in that week. And like I said, all you have to do is go to the website, which is just dreamcollegesummit.com, and, you know, get your ticket there. And once you have that, you'll have access to these videos for 48 hours, like I said, totally free after they go live.
Very good. Yeah, I'm sure that there's there are, the numbers will be creeping up, especially one of the things, since not to say that humans tend to be a little bit of a procrastinating beast, but I think August, that's a great time for a lot of students who are looking at that dates on the calendar are closer than they appear.
Right.
And, November will be here. So I think very well placed in the calendar.
Yeah.
And the great part, and the great part is the Common App is already live by then. So kids can actually start implementing what they're learning from the Dream College Summit.
Exactly.
So Mark and I were actually talking about essays last time because summer is a great time to start working on those essays. Mm-hmm. What are some tips that you have?
Ooh, so I would say, I mean, the best tip is really the most cliche, but starting early the best possible tip when it comes to especially your personal statement or your main Common App essay. And I'll tell you from my personal experience, I spent months on my essay, and that my application was only rejected from one college. It was Princeton, and that was the only application that did not include my essay. So now is that why? Who knows? But I really think that spending a lot of time developing that essay to really, you know, tell that unique, vulnerable side of yourself that the rest of your application doesn't tell admissions officers. I mean, there's just nothing that really compares with that. So starting early, because that story and that essay itself, just the language of the essay, takes time to craft. It really does.
Great advice. I think that's what Mark had said on the last podcast episode too, is to start early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know it's, you know, the most cliche advice, but it really is so important.
There's a great TED talk that was done, not this last year, but the year before, on procrastination. And I think all of us can relate to that. And I think it's one of the things Ethan Sawyer, who he's the college essay guy, who I think he just, his book's the College Essay Essentials. And he that's one of the things he very much identifies, that if you give time for percolation, some magic can happen, but if you don't, you can shoot yourself in the foot. That's the worst.
Definitely. And Ethan's on the summit too, so you can hear.
Yay.
Yeah.
Oh, so exciting.
Yeah. So you can hear all of, you know, straight from the horse's mouth, all of his tips on writing your essay.
Excellent.
So Mark, do you have another question for Jess?
Well, Jessica, you mentioned a little bit about your own journey through the Ivy League pond, as it were. And one of the things that Anna and I have talked about previously is how you narrow down your college choices. And I think more and more as students, you know, they throw the net so wide. And talk about some of these schools they really shouldn't even be applying to.
Mm-hmm.
But once they get down to a handful, and they've got offer letters, then they are going to look at a little bit different of a decision making process. And I'm curious, how did you, who got accepted letters from a number of them, how did you make your own choice?
All right. Well, I will tell you, I did not do it how I would ever recommend a student do it. So I also knew myself very well. So I knew that I'm a pretty laid back person. So I wasn't going to, you know, hate a place because the dining hall like doesn't serve chicken nuggets or something crazy. hate the weather or anything like that. So I really was focused on, I wanted to go to a school in a city. And I, you know, I'm from a city in the Midwest, and I like being in a city. And it was also, I received a lot of financial aid from all the schools I applied to, but Harvard did give me the best financial aid package, not by too much, but it was better than the others. And so when I was narrowing it down, I sort of had it narrowed down to Harvard, MIT, but I was too intimidated by MIT at the time, and Columbia. But I was like, you know, how can I say no to Harvard? So that's sort of how I made my decision. I didn't visit any schools. I didn't visit Harvard until the August before I went there. Because my aunt, my godmother wanted to take me. So we went up there for a weekend. And it's funny too, because I had never been to San Francisco. And I got into Stanford for undergrad and grad school, but I had never gone to San Francisco. And I went to San Francisco a few years ago for work. And I was like, you know, it is a good thing that I had never visited, because it would have been very hard to say no to this beautiful place. So I wouldn't say that's, you know, advice for students to follow, but I do think it comes from knowing yourself and who you are. If you're the kind of person that's really affected by, you know, if it's snowing, I'm going to be super depressed and not able to like get out of bed, then you need to know that about yourself and go somewhere where it doesn't snow. But, you know, I think knowing those things about you, and if you are more of a person that can sort of roll with the punches wherever they are, then, you know, visiting every school you get into might not be necessary to make that decision. Though there are other advantages to visiting schools before you're accepted.
Well, since you went to a school near Boston, I tell students who are looking, you know, in the Boston area at the mm-hmm. many colleges, the fine institutions of higher academics, and I tell them, well, okay, I know you're frightened of the cold. That's fine. I understand that. I just tell them to visit Mike's Bakery and mm-hmm. have and that usually. I don't know. So
I wish I'd known you back then, Mark. I actually purposely did not go to a school in Boston, even though I'd been accepted into the honors program, because when I toured, it was snowing. And I just determined that I decided it was too early to be snowing in November. So I was like, no schools up north.
Yeah, the opposite now is when students are looking at like Arizona State or, and I say, have you ever been in 123? just before you walk in a pizza oven, let's make sure that you're okay with it. So,
yeah.
That's a great tip. Well, I think we have everything. Thank you so much, Jessica, for your time and for telling us more about the Dream College Summit. Is there anything else you would like to leave with our listeners, whether it be about the summit or just college admissions in general?
Well, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I think the only thing that I would want to leave listeners with is to just definitely go to dreamcollegesummit.com, get your free ticket so you don't miss out on all of these amazing experts and their advice. Like I said, we have experts on essays, test prep, applications, scholarships and financial aid, former admissions folks. So there's just so much information for parents and students, and I want people to get it.
Absolutely. I think it sounds like a wealth of information. And if you think about it, it's so rare to have all these knowledgeable people all in mm-hmm. one room, so to speak. And right. you've done that. And, you know, thank you so much for organizing. I'm sure families across America are super thankful.
Yeah. And you don't even have to leave your couch for it. So
yeah. Thank you for having the wisdom in putting this together, because it actually makes our job so much easier, because informed students and parents are so much easier to work yeah. with. And we can spend more time on the really important things than on the, you know, all those crazy things that they're trying to keep in their head at the same time. And you've right. put them all together with experts. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much again, Jessica.
No problem. This is awesome.
Thanks for listening to the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast, where we make getting into college easy and fun. Don't forget to go over to iTunes and subscribe to get updated each week when we release a new episode. Also, for more helpful college admissions information, visit our website at www.c2ccollegepodcast.com.